Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of Pusher Breakaway was brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. Okay, I'm actually not even going to talk about Patreon, but you know how to do that. We were recording this before the Devils-Ranger game on Sunday. I'm traveling. If you're listening to this, I'm right now in Vegas at a conference for a couple days. Doing my own thing. So Greg and I have a lot to talk about from the Ducks and the Oilers game. Honestly, the result of the Devils game, while important, doesn't affect a lot of our opinions, even if they win, even if they lose. A lot of the topics stay the same. So we'll be back later this week with the BSBOT on Patreon for that. Obviously, we'll be back the following week. I think we're going to try and have Shayna on. She doesn't even know that yet. So if she's listening to this, Shayna, we'll talk to you next week. And boy, do we have a lot to say today. Big episode with Christian, Greg, and I take a couple mailbag questions. A lot to go on. So without further ado, here's Mark Messier. And boy, oh boy, hold on to your butts.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Hey, Blue Shirts Breakaway fans. Welcome. It's another week of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, and I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Gregory, how did you survive? How did I survive? How did any of us survive?
I'm trying to think, and I'm sure you're trying to think of it too. I don't know where this is going to rank on BSB Sadcast legacy, but it's gotta be high.
Okay, great. Let's start here, because yeah. I'm sad to admit how much I've been thinking about this. Took a long bike ride today, did some chores. Whole time I'm thinking, all right, Greg and I have, it's been 7 years now, and we've gone through the whole saga. Really, we started at the end of whatever the Hank era was, and that quickly pummeled. Like, hey, Keith Yandel, Eric Staal, all right. Then expectations go out the window. Full rebuild, we're doing Lee Stepniak nights, it's not good. Tanking, get Kako, great. Get Lafreniere, great. Panarin comes, fucking awesome. Mika Zibanejad gets traded to us, fucking great. Things are great. Low expectations. We're like, okay, if the Rangers are making a playoff run, this is where the Rangers are supposed to be. Last year, I was high on the Rangers. A lot of people weren't. Was it overachieved? Eastern Conference Finals. It's all good. This year, team is supposed to be good. Supposed to compete for top two in the Metro. And I think these two games, Gregory, these two, losing to the Ducks, a team that, and I would like to remind everybody, had never had a second period lead this season and had zero regulation wins, and then having a 3-goal lead, 3-0, versus the Edmonton Oilers at home with you in the building and a couple other people, let up 4 goals in 15 minutes. I think that is the two worst game stretch of this entire podcast in the regular season. Playoffs, totally different beast. In the regular season of this entire podcast history.
Yeah, so I think it's specifically because if one of these things happened, if the Rangers had beaten the Ducks and then blown the 3-goal lead to Edmonton, we'd be like, all right, this team's really confounding, but I still think there's something here. if the Rangers lost to the Ducks in the way that they did, but they beat the Oilers, a team going through one, but still a very talented, a very highly skilled team, you'd be like, all right, this team's starting to show some signs here. Am I feeling great? No. But do I think the world's ending? Also, no.
Well, Greg, just to cut you off, but like at the beginning of this of the third period, I'm like, man, team's back. Team is back.
Oh, it's like, God, you put everything together there where it's, you know, it's the fact that two goals came off the board. Another one could have been a 50-50 goal as well. 3-0 against the Oilers. And it's not just 3-0 against the Oilers. It's like you have stifled Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl where I haven't felt totally threatened for long periods of this game. And it's, I think what it comes down to, Ryan, is, again, we've done this podcast for 7 years. And obviously when this podcast started, there were expectations, but I don't think we never went into a season being like, this is a team that could win a Stanley Cup. I don't think we ever felt that way. We were always like some sort of,
this is the first year. This was the first year with legitimate cup aspirations.
Yeah, this was the first year where not just cup aspirations, but like we set the floor at Eastern Conference Finals. It would have been hard to justify the New York Rangers season as successful if they didn't at least match what they did last year, given everyone's a year older. We felt confident that the Trocheck over Strom upgrade was so good. You had confidence in the rookies taking a step forward. You had confidence in guys like Braden Schneider, Zach Jones, Vitali Kravtsov sliding into the lineup and playing meaningful roles. You had confidence that there were enough not bad pieces in the lineup, the Barclay Goodrows, that you felt confident in the 18 forwards the Rangers would dress on every night being capable of producing quality results.
I think, Greg, just to add to what you said, I think this is super important. Before the season, you and I said, this is the deepest Ranger roster we've seen in 7 years, maybe the last 15, mm-hmm. could be that far. And we didn't account for Julien Gauthier, who is now on pace for 20 goals or so, or 15 goals or some shit like that through a quarter of the season. Fucking ridiculous. And this is a team that is benching Vitali Kravtsov right now. That is how deep they are. And yet, here we are.
Well,
on the forward side, that is, not defense.
Yes, the forwards, as crazy as it sounds, I still feel fine about the forwards.
How could you not? Like, it is all there. Yes. The lines are not, they're not working. I think that's clear.
Even then, Ryan, it's just like, the Rangers, offensively against the Oilers, the Rangers produced enough offensively where they should have won that game. And looking at that game, watching that game from start to finish, my takeaway was that the Rangers aren't producing enough offensively to win this hockey game. It's that, man, we really did not account, and I am sure, some of this, if not 60% of this, is even when Lindgren is healthy, the Rangers are playing with three top four defensemen. Because Jacob Trouba, for whatever will come out that Jacob Trouba has, buddy, he is not working right now. He is too... There's a difference between... How many times on this show have we talked about the difference between hurt and injured? There is a significant difference. You can play hurt. Jacob Trouba is trying to play injured, and it's killing the Trouba-Miller line. And he's like overcompensating in ways that is significantly hurting what it is that he does well on a nightly basis. And then you add into the fact that you are, okay, so you're dealing with that, and he's in your lineup. Then Ryan Lindgren has left three different games this year hurt, and it becomes a catastrophe.
Every single time. Just real quick about the Trouba injury. He said to Vince today, it's definitely healing, or I want to find the exact quote, but in summary, he talked about how he can be better, and he is, it's no secret, it's getting better slowly, but surely.
Yeah, you
what
know
does
what?
That mean?
It would get better quicker if you stop playing through it.
Like, what are we doing? He's getting pissed. Like,
right. It's just how, buddy, We're not doctors. We're not the smartest people in the world.
We're two guys
who sit in front of a microphone and occasionally say something that some people find entertaining. But here's the thing. When I blew up my hamstring on live radio, you know what wouldn't have healed quickly if I kept trying to play kickball? My hamstring. And again, not a world-class athlete, don't have a PhD, grew up with a father that's a doctor and a mother that's a nurse. This is shit that I know. Rest and treatment.
Rice,
that's how you get better. Not continuing to do the thing that caused the injury in the first place.
And then, I'm sure you saw this clip, but to rub salt in the wound for Jacob Trouba. It's a bad...
In the building, I saw the Dreisaitl stick, whatever the fuck.
So for people that haven't seen it, Dreisaitl after scoring the goal, Jacob Trouba is skating towards the bench. Look, maybe purposely, maybe not, trying to block the Oilers. Dreisaitl slaps the stick out of his hand and just goes flying. It looks terrible for Trouba, but I gotta say, it's a no-win situation for him. If he goes at Dreisaitl there, to be honest, that looks like a bitch move. Just honest, let's be honest.
But forget the bitch move part of it. If he goes after Dreisaitl there, it's a penalty. The best case scenario, I think what Trouba was trying to do was draw the penalty to give the Rangers the advantage. But if he goes after Dreisaitl, the best case scenario is it's now 4-on-4.
And it might be a suspension for him.
Not just that. It could also just be the Rangers taking a penalty when they're down a goal. And now, like, you pull the goalie just to get back to even strength. So it's literally a lose-lose situation for Trouba in the sense that the best case scenario if he goes after Dreisaitl there is two guys go off and one of them is Dreisaitl.
Forgot to mention this at the top. We are recording this on Sunday at 7:15 p.m. So this is before the Devils game. That's super important. If you're wondering why did they start with a Devils game? I'm traveling. I'm in Vegas right now for a conference, and I cannot record after the Devils game on Monday night. Greg might do a Patreon bonus if you want to see that. Depending on how the game goes, maybe. Maybe.
Hard depending.
But we'll be back with BSBOT later this week on Thursday to talk about the Devils and the Wednesday night game as well. But for right now, to be honest, it doesn't really matter what happens to the Devils game. Even if they win, even if they blow the Devils out, there are so many questions about this team right now that one win doesn't fix at all.
No, God, no. This season was already shaping up to be one of the most frustrating because, again, you guys are probably sick, absolutely disgusted that you and I come on the show and keep saying the Rangers look good. And they do. For two periods, they look perfect.
They looked awesome, but I can't tell you not to. It's getting late early. If you want to panic a little bit, I can't tell you not to. It's impossible for me not to tell you not to.
I don't even think it's getting late early thing if you want to panic. I think the weaknesses the Rangers have this year are not immediately solvable. I mean, they can't trade for a defenseman right now. They can't. They need to wait longer to build more cap space to make it possible to get one of these defenders. So this isn't a case where, like, you and I would come on the podcast different days, different Mondays last year, and we'd be able to talk about guys I'd like to trade for right now because the Rangers can't wait any longer to bring guys in. This year, I feel the same way where, like, it's getting late early in terms of the Rangers need to make a move quick. They can't. And their trade piece right now is a guy they haven't played for 7 games. So, like, again, you don't – I know we've said on this show, you do not play guys to showcase. I truly, truly, truly believe that. The Rangers, if they wanted to trade Vitali Kravtsov, are in no position to be just putting him in the lineup – to showcase him to other teams. I get that. I understand that. At the same time, if you are marketing him to other teams like, this is the guy you should trade for so you can give us a defenseman, why would they?
Well, why would they, even if it's Patrick Kane? Like, even, and listen.
Patrick Kane's not going to help this team. I don't know how to make that more clear to people. What ails this team right now, more than anything else on God's green fucking earth, is that they are playing when fully healthy, quote-unquote, with 3 top 4 defensemen. And Ryan Lindgren has popped 3 different injuries this year. So actually, they're playing with 2.
And he's currently day-to-day still. And
sure, cool.
You know I'm not a Kane guy. Listen, we had Evolving Wild on the show last week, and I've seen the Rampham chart for Kane. It is red bar bash. very, it's like, it's a lot of red bar bad. I know it's Patrick Kane. I know who he is as a player. I totally get it. But what are we going to take? The power play is good. Are we taking Trocheck off the power play? Like, what is it, just to get another right winger here? That,
ooh.
What? What's that?
I did not realize I'm going through a little bit of a thunderstorm right now.
Oh, very fun. So are the Rangers.
It's November fucking 27th. How is there a thunderstorm in upstate New York?
I don't know. And taking Trocheck off the power play. Listen, a lot of people are going to want Patrick Kane. I understand the allure. I get why you'd want another right winger like him. I'd rather have a Timo Meier if I was going to go right wing in this situation. We're going to see what they do in the deadline. But a lot of people are starting to mention defensemen again. And that comes back to a conversation we had last year in Jacob Chychrun, which I'm sure we'll mention a couple other times in the show. Because Ryan Lindgren, as soon as he goes down, it's not a trend anymore. It's an analysis where we've seen it happen. Go out versus Pittsburgh Penguins last year in the playoffs. Rangers collapse. He comes back and plays injured. Rangers end up winning the series and defense becomes restructured. Great. Earlier this season, Ryan Lindgren goes out. Team collapses. And then again, this week on Saturday, as soon as he goes to the locker room, like, why wouldn't teams, not that Lindgren is, he's not adverse to physicality. He likes to get hit. He likes to hit people. That's his game. That's why signing him to a long-term contract later on is going to be a little scary, because his game does not age well because of the way he plays. But other teams, if you know that this is what makes the Rangers crumble, if Ryan Lindgren's just off the ice, buddy, like, they don't think teams don't think about that. They see this stuff. Yeah, the coaching sees this stuff.
It's twofold to me, where, like, I understand part of it makes perfect sense whenever Lindgren leaves the lineup. It's simple that you're asking Braden Schneider to do something he's not capable of doing right now. Maybe he can do it later. And again, it's important to remember he's still an incredibly young and green defenseman. Not every defenseman at the 60-game mark of their career is Adam Fox.
Also, almost had 3 goals in a row, bud. Like, it's not like he's not performing. He had 2 goals.
No, but...
And he got called one back.
But something changes in Adam Fox's game every time Lindgren leaves the lineup. And it drives me insane. This is not a criticism of Adam Fox. Let me be crystal clear about that. But it's very obvious to me that Adam Fox feels like, fuck, I need to do something to carry the weight of this line, because I am essentially out here by myself. I cannot trust one of these kids, whether it's Hayek, Schneider, or Jones, to play with me the style I want to play. So he has to change. He feels he has to change his game, which he doesn't, but he does. And that fucks up Adam Fox. Why? I will never understand. The biggest criticism I have for Gallant after the game is, this has happened to you 3 times now. Why are you not just moving Miller up?
Oh,
why is this so hard?
I have a couple criticism for Gallant. We have to talk about Gallant in general, because now it started the thing we did with Quinn, which is just the Fire Gallant Brigade. And I want to make this, everyone knows this to listen to this podcast. Like, I'm not the biggest Gallant guy. I don't think he's going to get fired. I don't think he's out. I don't think he's lost the room. And personally, I think it's on everybody. It's not just on Gallant. It's on all the players too. These players are not playing the way, like, you don't need to explain to Chris Kreider what he needs to be playing like at this point in the season. And Chris Kreider's been really good, by the way, but you don't need to describe that to Jacob Trouba. You don't even need to describe it to the kids. You don't think Alexi Lafreniere and Kapokako understand how desperate it is to be good in this league? Like, what you have to do every single day in and day out. Everybody gets a piece of blame pie right here. Gallant does wear his welcome pretty early. I get that. He's done that 2 other times, Vegas and Florida. I don't know if it's happening right now again. Maybe it is. But right now, I don't even know what you'd have to do to get fired. Like,
can
three,
I, well,
three
before,
more 5-0 well, losses?
While like, we're going down this line, I'll circle back on the Gallant part, because there are parts of it I agree with you and parts that I think I'm more sympathetic. Can I tell you the narrative that I absolutely hate the most? And I hear
it
from...
Is it the timeout one?
No, it's not even about Gallant. It's just the narrative circling this team that I can't fucking stand the most.
Reeves?
And there are people I like... Oh, no, it's not Reeves. There are people I like who say it, and I want to make it abundantly clear to the people I like and the people I don't like. If you feel this way. I want to make that clear.
Whoa.
Right off the rip.
Whoa,
no. I need to make that clear.
You like some of these people?
I like some of these people, but they're fucking zombies when it comes to having cognitive thought. The people who are like, the day they put the C on Jacob Trouba, this team changed. You have got to be kidding me if you think a stupid fucking letter that doesn't mean anything to the locker room is affecting how this team is playing. Jacob Trouba would have been the captain last year if Gallant felt like giving out the letter. The locker room leadership is exactly the same. If you want to say they are too comfortable with each other, fine. But putting the C on Jacob Trouba is not the reason why the New York Rangers are playing with what you perceive as less heart. You saying that just means you're a fucking moron. And I just want to make that very clear off the rip, Ryan.
Well, you could have just said my name.
No, I don't think you haven't said that.
I've questioned Trouba in a lot of ways. I really have.
Questioning's fine, but saying like this team lost its fight when Trouba became the captain, you're a brain dead zombie.
I think there are a lot of bad visuals, especially when it comes to Jacob Trouba, from a fan perspective, from just a outlook. And listen, he's the punching bag right now, big time. Like, there's nobody else to blame. We're not blaming Lieber Hayek. Gallant's getting some. But because Jacob Trouba wears that C, which has meaning to some people, and people in the NHL, like, that's just, it matters to them, he becomes the target. And because he's been playing injured, playing like shit at some points, no doubt about it, and going through the situation where he's supposed to be this open leader, and the quotes don't come from him, he gets his stick knocked out of his hand. It's bad visualization for
someone. I will say this. The quote part is something you say that I do think makes you seem like a bigger moron than I already perceive you to be.
I totally get it.
Yeah, that is some. You want to know why reporters go to Chris Kreider? It's because they've known Chris Kreider longer. They have a better relationship with Chris
Kreider.
And he's
a better quote. It's
well,
it's,
not just that. They're just more comfortable with him. A reporter can. Buddy, if I have to go, when I worked in news and I needed a hard answer from someone in the police department about a difficult subject, would I go to someone who might have a higher position of power, but I'm not as familiar with, or someone I know I can ask a hard question to, and they aren't going to change the relationship, the perceived relationship between me and that person is not going to change because I'm asking this hard question. Like that is just basic media insider.
Because you have a relationship already established.
Yeah, so do I go to the police chief to ask the hard question who I'm not very comfortable with and who might have a negative opinion of me because of this hard question? Or am I going to go to the public information officer who I have a great relationship with, I know is going to give me a quote that I can use, and I know won't hold it against me because he understands my job is to ask this question?
I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know how Jacob Trouba is as a leader. I don't. I'm just talking about from a fan perspective, and I could see why people would have bad visuals, and I don't understand why he's totally all the time the punching bag. That I don't get. There's always a punching bag, whether it be Mark Stahl, Dan Girardi. It usually happens to be a defenseman. It usually happens to be someone that's making a lot of money, and they're usually the punching bag. But Jacob Trouba, supposedly, and every single other Ranger, everyone tells you, I mean, there's a quote from Kapokako today in the Vince article. This is a guy who talks a lot, who's in our ears, who's doing the right things. He held a players only meeting today. Well, he did it last year too. And you're right. The leadership did not change. You and I were told last year, Jacob Trouba should have the C right now. Mm-hmm. And that's a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure did.
I, as you know, I'm an idiot and a moron.
Oh, you definitely are.
And I'm a big Chris Kreider guy. Like, hardcore.
Right. If he wanted the letter, he could have the letter. I promise you.
I tend to agree with you. Because if he wanted
you tend to agree with the very factual thing that I'm telling you?
It was factual. If he wanted it, he would have had it.
Yeah.
That's it. He's on a no-move contract. It's not because they're trying to trade him. It's not because Chris Kreider is a lifelong Ranger. He might retire here for all we know. We don't know. And if he wanted it, he would have it. But Jacob Trouba has it. And I don't think it was chosen by this. It wasn't Chris Drury's decision.
You know that I am not expressing an opinion when I tell you
that's
that
true.
If Chris Kreider wanted the C, he could have the C. That is not my opinion. That is a statement of factual evidence. Like, that is the truth about what happened.
If they would offer it to him, and he said, I do not want it. I do not want it. It's not a burden. He just doesn't want to be that guy.
He doesn't feel like he needs it. And you know what?
And he's right.
I don't think Jacob Trouba feels like he needs it. It's just that the Rangers felt like they needed one, so they nominated Trouba. And he was like, fine.
Yeah, they were like, Troops, you're the captain now. Great. Even though there's six people in there who are captains, everyone gets an A. That's how that works. Everyone's got their voice. You don't think Artemi Panarin's voice holds weight? It does. Same thing. You don't think Adam Fox's voice holds weight? Big time. And here we are.
Anyway, yeah. That's the Trouba rant. Let's go back to Gallant, because I do think that's important.
Let's go back
important.
To Gallant, and then we'll do that. We haven't even mentioned, I can't believe this, we're 22 minutes in, that Ryan Reeves got traded for a fifth rounder for fucking Minnesota.
The day that I said I don't know if a team would actually trade for him. God bless
Minnesota. I said sixth rounder. You were like, maybe a seventh? It was a fifth. So there you
go. But we also both said that draft picks after the fifth round just don't matter.
That's correct. But they don't. And this one doesn't matter either. It was getting him off. It was amazing they got anything back in general. But here we are. Go back to Gallant.
The Gallant conversation. I am not going to be the bulletproof vest that I think people perceived us to be with David Quinn.
Especially with David Quinn.
Yeah, I'm just not going to do it this time. Like, if you want to fire Gerard Gallant, guess what? I'm not standing in your way. Go for it. I'm not going to call you dumb.
Go for it. Bring in Barry Trotz right now. Like, if you really want to do that.
I will warn you. If you expect things to change under Barry Trotz, like all of a sudden kids are going to get magical ice time or the style of play is going to be different. I have news for you. Gerard Gallant plays a very significant Barry Trotz style of hockey. I don't think a lot would change.
Yeah, it's a lot of forecheck, playing in the defensive style and trying to play to your own strengths and what you have.
Yeah, and Barry Trotz trusts guys he knows who can do a job.
Kratzoff would never play on this team, just like Wahlstrom never played for the Islanders.
Correct. And also, like, a big reason why kids aren't thrust into opportunities is because NHL coaches, for the most part, don't trust them to do what they need to. The coach would rather play a player who will not create a mistake than play a player who may create an insane opportunity. The NHL coaches, more than any other professional coach, they are incredibly risk adverse. And by putting kids in positions to play crucial roles adds additional risk. They'd much rather sit there and just have the most boring possible outcome with a Barclay Goodrow than a potentially exciting outcome that also might stress your defense a little with Alexis Lafreniere. Like, that is just that's just the way it is. Like, I don't know how else to be more clear about that. But again, like, Gerard Gallant, he wears on a, you want to talk about things that wear on a fan base, I think a lot of the Gallant-isms are Aaron Boone-ish, where, like, you just get tired of hearing the same thing over and over again.
Especially the Kravtsov stuff. And listen, has Kravtsov earned his ice time? No. But has he had the chance to? Not really either. Injury from Hedman where he steps on his neck, pretty much, cool. Then he gets another hit, cool. Then he has dental surgery, awesome. But now he's been supposedly cleared to play for about 5 to 7 games. And I don't know, I don't actually know how true that is, depending on the dental surgery. We'll see how it is. It's probably pretty painful. And I know you're like, as we're talking about Jacob Trouba here trying to take in a seat. If Kravtsov needed more time, he needed more time. I get that. But I'm going under the assumption that he is healthy right now to play. And Ryan Carpenter is not a future long-term situation for this team.
Not even doing much in the present, if you want to be honest about
it. I'll be perfect. That's very true. And I get that Gallant doesn't trust what Kravtsov is. But I think, and I this was semi-reported at the beginning of the season, and I don't know if you remember this, Greg, but please fill me in if you do. It wasn't Gallant's, or it was called up on high that Kravtsov put in the second line. I think it was more of a Chris Drury idealism, where it was, hey, we need this guy to work out. Please put him in the second line. Give him a shot. And Gallant didn't really do that. And I think Chris Drury knows that he's got something there, but it's not his call to make the lineup decisions. It's Gallant's, and he has to trust him to be on the same page. They work together. They're a partnership in some ways, even though Drury is Gallant's boss. Now he's had the opportunity to take him out. Gallant feels like the team has played well, even though it's been, what do they have, like 2 regulation wins in all of November?
Four. I believe I saw four.
Some pathetic number the Rangers should never be at, and now they're in the fifth spot in the Metro, and all of a sudden, like, Kravtsov is still benched. Guys, like, I get he's trade bait. I get he's likely not going to be on this team at the trade deadline, but I've been surprised before. I thought Nils Lundqvist would be traded last year. He was not. He was traded this year. Ended up going anyway. Zach Jones gets benched all the time. I just don't understand when you have these high caliber, high upside players that maybe aren't doing what you need. I get that, but they have to be better options than Ryan Carpenter. And you're trying. This is not just this year, even though it feels like this year. And Chris Drury, if Jones and Kravtsov get traded for Kane or Meyer or Jacob Chychrun or whoever, you name your star player person who you want to go, you better fucking be all in to ready win this year and next year, because boy, I don't think Kravtsov's a golden child. I don't think he's that, but he has good potential and good upside. To not even give him a chance, it just feels negligent. I just can't take it. I can't Gallant saying, hey, you know, he's happy. He's fine. He's doing his thing. He's good. He's on an NHL team. He's fine. That's not what the case was. Like Kravtsov wanted to come here to play. And Julien Gauthier beat him out, rightfully, by the way, again. But there are players like Kravtsov that are playing instead of Kravtsov that just blow my mind. I do not get it. Especially with Reeves gone. Reeves gone now.
Yeah, the Carpenter one, it just doesn't make sense. It's one thing if, like, Jimmy Vesey has earned his spot on this team. If Jimmy Vesey was the reason why Kravtsov was out of this lineup, I think you and I, this would be an extremely different conversation. We'd be like, it's tough, it's difficult, but there's no way you could take Vesey out, blah, blah, blah. That'd be the tone, the narrative of what exactly it is we are talking about. The problem here is, we're actually talking about Ryan Carpenter, because all that needs to happen is Barclay Goodrow slides down, which would be a perfect, absolutely perfect use of Barclay Goodrow, by the way, where you don't want Goodrow playing in the top six specifically, but probably top nine as well. The difficult part of this conversation, Ryan, is I can't sit here and say that Vitali Kravtsov being in the lineup or not being in the lineup,
that doesn't change shit.
Yeah, so it's...
it doesn't change shit.
It is a concern. Don't get me wrong. It is something I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. But to me, it comes down to the fact that as angry and disappointed as I am with Gerard Gallant, his bullshit answers to the media, his non-answers to the media, the way he manages his team, the way he reacts when the Rangers have their backs up against the wall. I don't know if you noticed this on Saturday, when the Rangers gave up the third goal, he took Panarin off the top line and put VC back up there. He started to play the, well, I can't afford to give up another goal, as opposed to, shit, now I need to score another goal. And that's, to me, a criminal but move to make, because you are officially...
worse, break up the kids for a second. Put Kakko back up there. What
but
are we
you're
doing?
Playing, it's a move that shows me you are playing not to lose versus playing to win.
Like, yes, yeah, agreed.
You've already blown the lead. You've already given up the three goals. The worst thing that can happen to you now is you lose this game. Absolutely. But don't play for the tie. Like, at that point, you almost have nothing to lose. Because if you lose the game, we're just going to feel as shitty as we already do. If you go for the win, if you push your chips all in, if you try to make an aggressive move that will help your team score a point, like, at least go down fighting. Like, he went down on his back, and that is so disheartening, criminal, whatever word you want to move. I'm down with it. At the same time, it's really hard for me to... I took the step back. I wandered the city, ended up in Jersey, watched some football with our friend Jeff, and I was like, we're not talking hockey, we're just going to watch Penn State, and everything's going to be great. You want to know what? Everything was great. Had a wonderful time. But you take the step back, Ryan. And the Rangers had a choice this offseason where they didn't have the cap space to do everything they probably wanted to do. And this is essentially the argument of, is it better to have 2 50-cent coins versus having one full dollar and hoping you find loose change in the couch otherwise? I love Vincent Trocheck. I'm happy he's here. He's a highly entertaining player. I have a great time watching him. I think
incredibly unlucky right now, by the way.
Incredibly unlucky, but I think he's going to do a lot of things that will eventually help this New York Ranger team. But if you are building this roster and you don't have complete faith and confidence in Zach Jones being your guy, but you do have enough confidence, it's the messaging Chris Drury had this offseason that doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Well, so, it gets worse. It gets worse because I think maybe you're going this way, but the rumored line for tomorrow, at least the second line, is Hedl, Kakko, Artemi Panarin.
I mean, that's fine by me. I don't care. Like,
what, I love that line.
You want to put Trocheck anywhere you want in this lineup, by all means, please do. I'm all for it. The way I'm going is he went for a luxury item. He felt like this team just needed an upgrade from Ryan Strome, and that if that was the big ticket item he purchased at the supermarket, everything would be fine. The Rangers would be significantly better.
Well, you're also attached to that big ticket item for 7 years, but go on.
No, but like that's what he wanted to do. He wanted the luxury item. You and I never thought Vincent Trocheck. Yeah, I'm just upset about everything right now. We never really considered Vincent Trocheck as an option because we thought the Rangers would try to be a little bit more pragmatic, a little bit more economical. They would do something that clearly, obviously, would help the team, but not put them in a financial situation where that was the only move they could really make. I was a big Stastny guy, but what it comes down to me, Ryan, is there's some kind of miscommunication happening between Gallant and Drury.
Because oh, big time. I think Drury, it's super clear.
Drury had to feel confident that Zach Jones was going to be the guy. How confident? Not only did he not bring in another seventh defenseman or top six option, he traded Nils Lundqvist. So we've talked about the lack of a security blanket with Zach Jones. And for some guys, that's great. It unleashes them. Zach Jones has had an up and down start to the season. I think that's the fairest, most honest answer I can give. I don't think he hasn't been what I thought he would be. He also hasn't been bad.
He hasn't been a sieve, and he hasn't been exploited in ways where I was like, okay, this guy cannot play in the NHL.
Right, but you traded Lundqvist.
Yep.
Which means you have nothing underneath Zach Jones. I know you like Matt Robertson. That's great and good.
Even then, he's not ready.
No. So you abandoned anything of a backup option for Jones. Now, if Jones hit and the Rangers still had injuries to Trouba and Lindgren, we're probably still in this situation. But not only do you have injuries to Trouba and Lindgren, one of which will keep Lindgren out of the lineup potentially, and the other of which should keep Trouba out of the lineup just based on how he's playing. You've set up a scenario where it's November and you have to play Trouba through injury. Not just that, what is the communication between you and Gallant where you have one view, Chris Drury, the architect of what Zach Jones is, and the guy you have running your office is like, you're just wrong? That's not what Zach Jones is? That doesn't make any sense. We've said this before, and I know we've said this before. This shit doesn't happen in other sports. GM in the NBA brings in a player, and the coach doesn't just get to not play him. A general manager makes a trade at the deadline.
The Knicks might do that, by the way. The Knicks,
but I think the Knicks' problem is they never know how to value the guys they draft. But the players they bring in, Ryan, they all play. But the guys they draft, it's always the young guys with the Knicks that don't know. And I do think part of that is you have an agent for a GM and an old school knucklehead for a coach. So yeah, they're going to, again, risk adverse, Ryan. That's a very key term when it comes to guys from the old school. But like in baseball, if you bring up a prospect, you know what that prospect does? He fucking plays. I remember this is how sick I am when it comes to the Mets. There was a random Mets-Reds game towards the end of the year, and the Reds had just brought up Jose Berrio, a guy I love, a guy that you've had opinions about. And it was an interesting conversation that Gary, Keith, and Ron ended up having because the Reds, late game situation, they were down a run. Berrio was on the bench, and the Reds brought up some DFA veteran who's been in and out of the team on seven different teams to start the year. They brought him up to pinch hit instead of Berrio. And I very specifically remember Gary Cohen going, make this make sense to me. What is the point of not having the young guy going? And I just remember sitting there going like, I didn't know announcers also thought the way we thought. So like, what is the point of Drury had a plan. Whether you liked the plan, whether you thought the plan made sense, whether you would have done this plan yourself. His plan was, Zach Jones is ready. Zach Jones can do this. I can spend lavishly in one other area because I'm confident Zach Jones is going to be that guy.
Well, I think not only this year, too. I think you're saying longer term. He goes, hey, Zach Jones is this guy for a long time.
Yes, yes. And that's why he felt not just comfortable spending big money on Trocheck, but doing it for such a long term. He was confident that whether it's, and it's not just Drury, it's the people he puts around him, the developmental coaches, everybody was confident Zach Jones was going to be this guy. Now, why isn't the coach on board with it? Because that, you can't tell me, Ryan, that Drury's opinion has changed this drastically this quickly.
I can't imagine it has. And we'll talk about Jacob Tricker. Actually, you know, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll answer some questions from Mailbag. We'll do some five-star questions as well. Jacob Trickren and more. So we're going to transition. We'll be right back. Transition. Okay.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We're back. Before we left you, we were talking about Jacob Chikrin and also Zach Jones and other players as well. So just real quick, so we're like, I don't know, 45 minutes in. Drury did trade Reeves to the Minnesota Wild for a 5th-round pick in 2025. Great job. Chris Drury ends up getting value for players he shouldn't get value for. Congratulations. 5th-round picks don't matter. It ends up being like $6.6 million at the trade deadline total if they wait. That's good. That allows them. So let's start with 5-star questions. We're going to do a couple mailbag stuff. We got a lot of comments because, well, it was a crazy fucking week. And because of that, we will start with 5-star questions and go to some questions from Twitter. Let's start with the Chikrin thing. With the Reeves trade, do we talk... This is from Chris from Norway. Do we talk Chikrin again at the deadline rather than adding depth D? Or is it impossible money-wise for the next years? He is not a rental. Jacob Chikrin right now makes $4.6 million for the next 3 years, including this year. If the cap goes up $4 million, it is not a problem to keep him for the years to come. It's not an issue. Actually, it would be a benefit for the Rangers to trade for Jacob Chikrin and get him for long term rather than a Kane or a Timo Meier, because it's not just a this year solution, it's a 3-year solution. Would the Arizona Coyotes trade Jacob Chikrin for, I don't know, Zach Jones and Kraftsov and a first? Maybe, but the rumors have been a lot higher than that. But they can't afford him. He is not a rental. You are correct. And it's not impossible money-wise, especially with the possible chance that the cap jumps $4 million, which would be exactly what you need to fit Jacob Chikrin. That being said, you do have a lot of fit a lot of other players. Alexi Lafreniere, Keandre Miller to name two. So there's a lot to go on.
Well, I think there's an uncomfortable conversation that needs to start sooner than later.
Yep.
Because here's the thing, guys. If the Rangers fail this year, you can't just run it back with what they have. And while it's really fun and you think you're smart and you think you're Brad Pitt and Moneyball by saying, oh, the Rangers could trade Kreider and Trouba. It's not actually the conversation of the players you need to be having the conversation about.
And they can't be traded.
They can't
be moved to 2024.
It's the Hedels, the Lafreniers, the Kakos that are going to be on the chopping block. And it's one of them where the Rangers are going to feel like this core is too good for us to not go out and add a big piece. And the pieces teams will trade for are the pieces they can afford. Those are the kids.
And they're right, by the way. You have a prime Adam Fox, you have a prime Igor Shesterkin, mm-hmm. and you have two other players that you don't get on your team very often, Artemi Panarin and Mika Zibanejad.
Mm-hmm.
You are a talented team, which mm-hmm. is why this entire November is so goddamn shocking. Because guess what? The Rangers are, on paper, extremely good. Like, top, the depth is crazy, star power, the best goalie in the league, a Norris-winning defender. There's a lot of great. This is so much great. And yet, we just can't figure out a way. I want to read this text message I got from Stephen Lemaire, who is one of our big-time supporters. Because great teams always find a way to win, but how about teams that always find a way to lose? This is getting ridiculous. And I think that's the best way I've heard to describe this year's New York Rangers. Because last year's New York Rangers always, no matter how shitty they looked, found a way to win. And this year, it's always, I think this team's winning, and they just find new ways to lose and shock me and say, I can't believe this is the way they're losing. It's the whole team and Gallant. It's the whole culture that's with the team right now. It's not one particular player's fault. Everybody.
Yeah, it's so much easier for us, for any fan, to be like, it is X, Y, and Z. That is what is wrong with this team. I can fix this team with one quick stroke of a pen. That is the thing I need to do in order to do blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's always nice in theory, but that's just never it. But to the Chychrun point, it is just... I am without words how somehow Ryan Lindgren, as much as I like him as a player, as much as I enjoy him from the fan perspective, he, like, before yesterday's game, Ryan, I tried to do this exercise with our buddy Dan LaRose, who organized, by the way, shout out Dan, organizes these meetups every year. They are always great, even though rarely the Rangers win.
Last time they won was Hank's final game in MSG, yes. Unbeknownst to him.
Yes. But I asked him, like, before that game starts, where would you rank Ryan Lindgren in terms of indispensable Ranger players? And you go down the list.
I think he's like 9, right?
I don't. Well, you go down the list. He's not more in before the game starts. He's not more important than Mika. He's not more important than Fox. He's not more important than Panarin. He's not more important than Igor. He's
not more important than Kreider.
He's probably, like, so the absolute highest you would put him is 6th.
I mean, that's generous. That is generous.
The absolute highest you'd put him is 6th. Like, you're probably not putting him before Keandre Miller. So he's probably 7th if you wanted to be super aggressive about it. How is it that your 7th most important Ranger, when he leaves the lineup, is the one that causes everything to fall apart each time? How did this team allow themselves to get into this situation? And it's, some of it is coaching, because again, it's bewildering to me how Miller isn't the guy that immediately moves up. And again, it is coaching that it takes a coach to tell Trouba, buddy, you're not fucking playing, because here's what happens if you play. If someone else gets injured, I can't take Miller off your side because I need him to prop you up. So if you need to play a player as a crutch, buddy, shouldn't be in the lineup. That's, you know, coaching.
I've had a lot of people talk about Miller too, and I thought Miller had an excellent first two periods, followed by a bit of a disaster third. But again, it is up to your partner as well. You talked about, and this is not a criticism on Miller or Trouba, but when you're holding up your partner, similar to Adam Fox when he's playing with Brandon Schneider, you do stupid things. You make moves. In his head, he probably knows what actually is going on with Jacob Trouba, and that forces him to play in a different way, in a different mindset he's usually playing. It gets him off his game as well.
Yes, and these guys are creatures of habit. Every athlete is a creature of habit. And
They're all psychopaths.
He is going into each game being like, if I don't do X, Y, and Z, it could potentially cause my team to lose because I'm not picking up the slack to do something my partner needs me to do for him. So it changes the way. Keandre Miller is changing the way he's playing because he feels like he has to adjust his game in order to protect Jacob Trouba. And Adam Fox does the exact same thing whenever Ryan Lindgren leaves this lineup. He changes his game because he feels like he has to protect one of these kids that is not ready for the moment Adam Fox is playing in. And he's probably right. But that it still changes his game. That's still a coaching decision. Instead of the Rangers playing with one complete line, they're now playing with two incomplete lines when Lindgren leaves the game. And it's beyond frustrating. And it's neither here nor there. But the Chychrun part of this is simple. It's just like a baseball team that goes into a season with only five starting pitchers is going to lose. No team goes an entire year without injuries. You hope to avoid major injuries to your most important players, but people are going to get hurt. And I'm not saying you need six Keandre Millers backing up this defensive pairing in order to be successful. But the Rangers don't have seven defensemen. They, according to Gerard Gallant, they don't even have five. Like, they are two defensemen short in the eyes of their coach every night that they dress a fully healthy lineup. That's unacceptable. Either from the coach's perspective or your general manager's perspective. One of them is immediately wrong. And I know for a fact that even if Drury feels he has six, he doesn't have seven. So they're both at fault in terms of preparing for this exact scenario. And part of the reason why the Rangers' record is what it is whenever Lindgren comes out of the lineup, it's not just that Lindgren himself is a good player. It's that they have never had anyone that can move up to replace him. And that is bewildering. How is that possible? This is a team that thinks they can legitimately be one of the last four teams standing in the National Hockey League. And not once did they think their oft-injured top-pairing defenseman needed a backup option?
It is bonkers. I am skipping some five stars here because we did cover a lot of them. So this is from Toaster Daddy. When was the last time you remember a goal review going our way? I'm sure they went our way, but I didn't care. So that's I don't remember.
Yeah, you only notice the stuff that happens.
It really pisses you off. Yeah, that's all of the internet, by the way, in case you're wondering. You don't notice all the good. Just only notice the stuff that pisses you off.
Are you sure?
This is from Cal. Does Gallant only say two sentences going into the third period? It seems the team comes out thinking they know how the game will end, so they go all autopilot. I get there's player leadership, but why doesn't Glenn get this team fired up? I want a coach that gets mad, not just disappointed. That's just not his style. He's a player coach. And by the way, Cal, thanks for writing in. I do agree with you. A lot of the Rangers' losses, I'm not putting this in Glenn, but at least a lot of the Rangers' losses have been, at least in my opinion, on the team going autopilot, thinking they had the game won.
Yeah.
That's been four times this year, at least, where they're like, okay, we put this game away. We're up 2-0, we're up 3-0, whatever. And the other team says, who the fuck are you to say that? Comes back and beats the Rangers. And they don't respond.
Yeah.
It's maddening.
Part of that, I remember once upon a time, a big criticism we had for David Quinn is that it seemed like the Rangers were always giving up goals in the first 3 minutes of a hockey game.
Well, sometimes the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But within the first 180 seconds, if there was a failure, that's a failure you can put on a coach because that is simple game preparation. That is simple. Here's what I need to do before this game begins to be successful. And if I do X, Y, and Z, I can be successful. And if you're not doing them, not having your team prepared at any point, that is a coaching issue. And I do think some of this you can put on Gallant in terms of whether he wants to be a rah-rah guy, whether he wants guys to be super excited, or he thinks he just needs to manage the room. That's all fine and good. But if you're not doing anything, then you are failing the roster laid out in front of you. And I don't think it takes much to understand that. Like, I'm not saying Gerard Gallant needs to lean into these guys like Lou Piniella would every night or anything like that. But you have to hold people accountable, and you can't wait until after the game to do it. That's too late. You fucked up. Time has passed you by that you needed to use if you are waiting until the final whistle to be like, you know, you guys, wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Something.
I totally agree with you. This is from Adam Furlong. And this isn't a question, but I think an observation. I'm not sure exactly what it's trying to say, but here we are. Do you guys remember when the Canadiens came out of nowhere to advance to the Stanley Cup Final in 2021, or when the Islanders made it to the Eastern Conference Finals out of nowhere in 2020? No particular question, just wondering. Just have those two teams bouncing around in my head for no reason at all. I wonder what those two teams are up to now. Well, first of all, the Canadiens, I know, are a tire fire, but they at least have some good talent. And they got a better coach, by the way.
It was also COVID. Everything goes out. The Canadiens were playing just Canadiens. It was a COVID year. I don't take anything that happened that year seriously or as
and the canon. Islanders are still good, dude. They're in it right now.
Yeah, and also that Islander team that quote-unquote
came out of... Oh, he's saying they have new coaches. That's interesting.
But no, but okay. that team that came quote-unquote out of nowhere, they came out of nowhere not because they were bad, but because they were boring. Like, we didn't think anything of the Islanders because they didn't play a visually pleasing style of hockey. They were not a fun team to watch, so we didn't think a lot of things were going to happen for them in terms of long-term playoff success. But it wasn't because they were bad, and it wasn't because they didn't have the talent. It's just the style of play where I didn't care to watch those Islander teams because they were fucking boring. Like, there's no other way to describe it.
They are boring. They're boring, but they were good. They knew exactly who they were. That's really important.
The Rangers think they know who they are, and they don't have a fucking clue.
They have no clue.
They don't have a fucking clue.
They don't. This is from Osberg. Guys, is there anything to do except fire the coach? Yeah, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. And again, this isn't all on the land. We talked about that a lot. This is from J-Play. Do the Rangers need to retool? They can't, dude. This is... The cap is... They are fully capped out for the most part, but until the trade deadline.
Again, I can't emphasize this enough. The fact that someone feels like they have to ask the question if the Rangers have to retool... That's on Chris Drury. How did he not think of this? I get that Trumbull schools blow, but that is unbelievable.
Billy Ratz asked, at what point should Drury step in and force Gallant's hand in regards to Kravtsov? He's only gotten 6 games so far this season, and even if he played like 6 full games, I don't think that'd be enough to make a decision if he can hang on to it.
Should have already done it. Like,
I agree with you. It should have been out of hand already.
It's so fucking confusing to me that the National Hockey League's the one league where coaches just get to do whatever the fuck they want. There are no consequences. There's no expectation. They just get to fill out a lineup card however they fucking feel. The coach never outlasts the GM. Why isn't the GM more hands-on? What the coaches does is going to greatly impact whether the GM continues to have a job. So why not hire a guy who will do exactly what you want him to fucking do?
It is crazy. And Glenn, again, Eastern Conference Finals last year. Has a good resume, has done this with a couple teams, but it does fall off quick, and we might be watching the wheels right now. Mm-hmm. This is from Walkie324. When I watch the United States men's team, am I just watching the Rangers on grass? Great offense and chances, but no scoring. My man, the USA team did amazing. They were fucking awesome.
Yeah.
They were very close to beating England.
They probably honestly deserve to beat England.
We talked about Trouba a lot already, Ben Weber, so we will move on from that one.
Yeah, still brain dead, by the way, if you think that's not Trouba. That's probably the hardest take I've ever had against our listeners, who, again, I mostly like all of you, but I can't emphasize the lack of brain activity. If you think a player wearing a certain letter is why the Rangers are
winning games. I sympathize with y'all, but you know how Greg feels about me.
Yeah, that's not a good thing for anybody listening to this.
They know. Izbox says, talk us off the cliff, gents. We are trying to. What do you see that gives us hope is that this is the bottom, and is there anywhere to go but up from here? This is not the bottom.
Oh, this is it not could the
get
bottom.
Worse.
Oh,
it could get worse.
I think
it's called April, buddy. And if April comes and the Rangers are in like a solid playoff spot, woo! Well, it's bad. It's real bad. It's really bad. All right, let's go to Twitter questions because there are a lot more. Actually, one of the biggest questions we got all day, Greg, but while I pull this up is why and how and what?
Okay.
And I think to answer all of those is you and I have said a lot on this show. What? It's not time to panic yet. I talked about January 10th being the panic date. I'm getting closer to hitting the button. I am.
I just don't think panic's the right word. I think you should be frustrated. I think you should be disappointed. I think you can be upset. But like, I maybe I've just skipped Panic, where like, I don't know what, when Panic, I panic when like there's a fixable solution here. And yeah, the Rangers need to add defense, but they just can't. So like, why panic when nothing's going to change? I don't know. I don't know how to express my
discontent.
No, I mean I know how to express.
Oh, that's true. That's actually, we've done that.
That's not a problem. I just like, should you be panicking? The Rangers aren't. It's really frustrating because again, the Rangers should have more wins than losses this year, and the fact that they don't is not because of the talent that they have accumulated to get to this point. It's just shit that is changeable from within the own locker room that you and I can't change. It's guys playing a full 60. It's coaches making certain moves. It's the GM making certain decisions. But like, the house is on fire, but it's because of a lightning strike and not arson.
Matt Jackson asks, hey Ryan, first time, long time. What is the chance percentage Dolan makes a rash decision at the deadline?
Well, he can't. Probably... I got bad news for him. What's the rash decision?
Yeah,
magically print more money?
Can't do it. He would love to. I promise you. He would. This is from Matthew. Serious question. Do you honestly see that this team making the playoffs? Yes. They have to. It is a tough division, but the team is too talented on paper. And I know we're a fourth of the way into the season. There's a lot of left hockey left to play, ups and downs for all teams. And I know the Devils right now are on a heater. I get that. But boy, they have to make it. And there's no other option.
Yeah, I mean, they should. They should. If they don't, it's the biggest organizational failure. I'm trying to think of the last time. I don't know. Like,
is in the Rangers? Even, oh boy, I don't know. Long time.
Probably long, since long time. Like, I don't know, the 90s? Probably.
Probably. Probably 96, something like that.
Yeah, like, the Rangers should have won more than one cup. That's an organizational failure. But like, even Vigneault's last year, the Rangers had already decided what they were, which is a team rebuilding. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. It would be a massive organizational failure.
This is from Dan C. I think this is a legitimate question. Why do people care so much about the 12th forward and 6D? Do baseball fans care this much about the ninth hitter and long relievers? Every yes. psychopath cares this much about their team. Yes.
But also, that's unfair. It's unfair to make that comparison, first of all. Like, trust me. Obviously, this guy is not a Met fan. You want to know how many Met fans are complaining about James McCann and Tomas Nito at different points this year? Yeah, they care about the guy hitting ninth. And the long man and the ninth hitter are not the same as... At no point in any scenario would I ask James McCann to be my cleanup hitter. Whereas my 6D, with this team specifically, when you have a roster full of players playing positions where not only do they have track records of getting hurt, but it's a high volatility sport where injuries are going to happen... Your 6D is going to have to play minutes in the top four at some point this season. It's more along the lines of teams care about who their number four starting pitcher is. You can't just have a scrub in that position and expect to be successful. That's the more apt crossover comparison. Yeah, your 6D is a super important position. That guy's playing 18 minutes a night. He's playing more than the majority of your forwards. And if a defenseman takes a penalty, he's probably playing the penalty kill too. So it's like, yeah, the Rangers fucked this up by not having a guy that either their coach trusts at 60 or that their general manager thought was ready for 60. And then not only that, Ryan, everybody's excited about this Dallas pick. Good for fucking you. But you, by trading Nils Lundqvist, no fucking safety net. It does not exist. None. And you knew this.
I know Nils wanted asked for a trade. I know he wanted out of here. I know long term he didn't see himself as a money making potential for the New York Rangers because he was never going to run a power play. Adam Fox exists. Totally get it. But that's not up to him. That's not you owned his contract.
Dem the breaks, Ryan. Dem the breaks.
Why do I let sports ruin my Saturday? Great question, Kristen.
I mean, it's a lot. I'd rather sports ruin my Saturday than something else.
That's true. There's a lot of bad in the world. Sports is one of the good things that can ruin your Saturday if you really think about it that way.
It's the least important. It's the most important thing.
Yes. LG, how would you guys gauge the current temperature of a Glance seat? Has it gotten any hotter through this stretch? I still think it's pretty cold.
I think it's freezing.
Yeah. Coming from this is from Steve Stonehand Steve, which is this question is very apt. Coming from a Caco supporter, has he inherited Strom's powers of missing wide nets and open chances? Boys and girls, I want to say this out loud. 2 years ago, Kaapo Kakko was one of the worst players in the NHL. He was terrible. He was awful. He showed almost no signs of being good at all. He does everything right now except finish. If the finishing comes, I'll be very happy. I'm very proud, and I wish he would finish. It kills me, but we've come so far. And it does actually matter. Thank you, Linkin Park. Is this team good? No. Thanks, Rick. when do we worry? We're almost there.
Well, no, you can worry. I don't know. Like, panic is such a panic means something else to me. I don't know. I just like I'm not panicked. I'm just pissed off. I think there's a big difference.
It's from Lou, our dear friend. Where do you have to be in the standings for us to end up being sellers instead of buyers at the deadline?
Who are they going to sell? Are they going to sell? No, honest question. Legitimately,
the options for selling are Lindgren, Hedl,
yep.
Alexi Lafreniere,
yep.
Keandre Miller.
Yeah, Ryan the
Carpenter.
Guys. Like, I got bad news for anybody that's like, oh no, you know the Rangers.
Oh, Sammy Blay. What are you getting for Sammy Blay at sixth?
Oh,
like, what?
That'd be nice. Oh, well, you're Pavel Buchnevich in the second.
Yeah, trades backsies.
Part of the reason why this would be such an organizational failure is there's no way out. You're stuck here. This is it.
I know.
Welcome Michael to the Puma Titanic. Said, let's see if it gets across the Atlantic.
Michael Puma asks, what are the biggest differences you see in this season compared to last season? And I think we already talked about this, is that last year they found ways to win games, and this year they let teams back into games way too easily.
Well, it's like this team's good enough to get a lead and good enough to control play, and then they just assume that, like, oh, the other team's dead. Like we killed them. They don't have that spirit in them anymore. We've ended this. Advantage us. And it's like, man, these are still professional athletes that would really like to win. You are not giving them the credit they deserve.
I think that's it for questions. We kind of covered every single topic this week. An interesting week. Play the Senators 2 times in 3 days. Devil's game obviously already happened as you're listening to this. To be honest, a lot of what we covered doesn't matter the result, even unless they lost terribly, of which they could have, and I hope they didn't. But even if they win in a big way, doesn't change. There's a lot this team has to do, a lot. Gregory, any final thoughts on this podcast?
No. I kind of wish baseball teams would start making moves so I'd be distracted. Like, I don't care enough about Mike Clevenger to really have my day change.
World Cup's been good though.
World Cup's been good. It's been unpredictable in a way that is very shocking. Like, didn't have Morocco on top of a group that included, what, Belgium?
Canada was super excited for 5 minutes today, so that was cool.
Yeah, Canada's probably my biggest disappointment. I thought they had a chance to go from having a chance to get out of that group to being the first team eliminated from the World Cup. That's a tough look.
That sucks. No other way to say it.
Well, they'll be back in like 50 years or so.
USA, Iran, dude. You have to win.
No shit. To win. If they lose, they're out. That's a good point, Ryan. If they don't win, I think they're in trouble.
That's good sports commentating.
Yeah. If you want to panic about something, that's a situation where you can panic. Like, there's no tomorrow for the U.S. men's national team should they not win. That is panic worthy. Other things, not so much in my eyes. Just not so much.
So, again, depending on the result of the Devils game, Greg might put a little solo rant up on our Patreon. If not, Thursday, you'll hear from us to talk about the Devils game and also the Ottawa Senators game. Fun times. We'll talk to you guys then. You can follow me on Twitter at O'Reilly. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. We'll talk to you guys next week. Love you. Bye. Okay, end of the show. Got to thank all our Patreon subscribers, but especially our NHL Insiders Club, Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen, Adam Curtulo, Adam Linder, Anna Keach, Alex Flynn, Alex Gardner, Anthony Terragata, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Bill Ritzel, Brandon Lekos, Brandon Magnum, Brett Granger, Brett McGinnis, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallon, Chris Finelli, Chris Howard, CJ Stelliger, Connor Bedemich, Daniel Dizan, David Narrative, David Siegel, Dennis Dites, Darian, Eric Rat, Eric Stagg, Gary Reynolds, Kip Carter Cup, Gary Scott, Harris Nasco, Happy 59, Alasaz, Ian Rodriguez, Ian Usher, Jake B., James Masker, Jerry Marquez, JD, John Jacques, Francois Jong, Jig, Jong, Jong, Jing, Jong, Jong. Jimmy Mack, John Hardesty, John Shea, Johnny Thundercock, Jordan, Josh Kestenbaum, Josh Friedman, Christopher Florida, Christoph Berg, going to the next page, going. Laser Gronowski. I need to watch the video again to really get that down. Lou Giordano, Matthew Kine, Meatball the Cat, Mike Bucklaw, Neil Grover, Nicholas DiNicola, Pascal Perrier, Pavel Kodarev, Pro World Takes Gamer, Randy Tesser, Stig Bulbach. Bulbach? Oh, sorry. Swinegard, Thomas Welsh, Tommy Sinclair, Thomas Jr., Tommy O'Neill, Turbman, Vinny Upstate, Vinny Hayville, Will Spector, and Winston Nuggle, then Red Draver. Usually at this point of the show, I would do like a 5 to 8 minute rant about something with the Rangers, but we talked a lot about the Rangers, and I have to be up at 5 a.m. to get on a plane. Don't know if they won, beat the Devils. Fuck, I hope they did. Fuck, I hope they did, man. I can't with this team. I don't really get it. I don't really understand. So, you heard it all. Hey, if you're listening to this at this point, I would love to hear your feedback on this episode. So send someone to me on at Orion Meat. I'll get back to it when I'm on a plane for 6 hours, either Monday or Wednesday night when I'm taking a red eye. Woo! Love you guys. See you soon. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.